So we're going to get going on our Bible lesson this morning, and I want to have a little heart-to-heart talk with you. We're going to continue our discussion of discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. Let me just share a couple of things with you. I know I've shared these things before, but I think it'll bear repetition, and every so often I think it's important that everybody kind of gets a general idea of what this ministry is about and why we're still functioning as a ministry here in Sierra Vista. Most of y'all know that for a long time there, we kept putting it up on the screen that we were celebrating 26 years of ministry in Sierra Vista, and we're happy about it. We're excited about it, but we went the full service church route for probably 14 years of that 20, maybe more than that. But we did the full service route, the full service church for 14, you know, what I mean by that is we actually had the nursery, we had the children's church. Some of y'all has been involved in all this. We had the music, men's breakfasts, we had women's fellowships. Anyway, we did that for at least 14 or 15 years. And then after about that time, we decided that most of what I had to offer was a teaching ministry. And so people generally, we thought, came to hear a Bible lesson. And so we focused our ministry more in that direction. And what I began to find out is that when I would go out in public, because I have a public life, I'm a CPA and a financial advisor, I began to discover that when I'd get out in public, people would come up to me on regular occasions and say, you know, I heard you on the radio and I like what you had to say. And again, we don't know how much they listened, but we don't know they said it. You tracking with me? And then the other thing we started doing is we started putting the Bible lessons on Facebook. I figured that if the technology got created where people could hear these things, it was created for the Lord, not for the devil. And so we started putting our stuff out on Facebook, and then lo and behold, people that I went to high school with began to contact me. And people that I hadn't been in contact with for many years began to contact me and say, listen, I listened to your stuff, and they continued to listen. So the opportunity came along, what has it been, a couple of years. Everything that's happened in this ministry, I had a warning about it. I knew from the Lord. I had a prior word from the Lord about it. But this last event that happened, I really didn't have any warning about it. I was in my office and meeting with a group of women. They were wondering about how to do some bookkeeping. And I knew they were Christian women, but they were wondering how to do some bookkeeping. At the end of the conversation, they mentioned that their church had gone through a church split, and they were looking for a building because they were renting somebody else's space, and they had about 125 to 130 people that they were looking for a building. And I said, well, we're currently renting our facility, and I'm teaching a Bible class at 9 o'clock. I said, as far as I know, I don't have any other reason to do anything different for another 5 years. Didn't think anything of it. They left. Christine came to tell me, one of my employees said, do you know those women are still outside talking? Because, you know, ladies can talk, right? Right, Jerry? Beverly? And she said, you know, those ladies are still out there talking. And I said, well, I don't know. And so about 2 o'clock, they met me in the morning. And about, I don't know, have y'all ever heard this part all the way? I think y'all need to hear it. You have? Probably. But anyway, has anybody not heard this all the way? You haven't, Mary? Good, because I really want to share this because I think it's important that people know. So anyway, about 2 o'clock that afternoon, one of the people from the church called me and said, would you be opposed to us coming over and look at your building? And I said, I don't care if you come and look at it, but I said, as far as I know, there's not going to be any changes. We're renting it to a church. We're having Bible class, and all the bills are paid, and you know, I'd have to talk to my board about it, but I said, if you want to come look at it, that'll be fine with me. So I'm figuring at 2 o'clock. He said, I'll meet you over there at 4:30. So I figured at 4:30 it's going to be him and maybe the pastor and a deacon. I got over here in the parking lot, and there was at least, every time I tell the story, I increase it by 10. But that's how preachers do. But there was at least 40 people in the parking lot waiting for me to open the church doors. And so they were there. I opened the church doors, and they went all over the building and looking at everything. And they said, you know, what would you be interested in doing anything? And I said, again, we weren't, I said, I have, you know, I didn't think, I said, I'd have to talk to the board, blah, blah, blah. I think a week later, they said, well, we'll just meet you again, bring the board members here. So they met us over here a week later, and this time there was, so I said 40 the first time, right? So I got to increase it, Jerry. So this time there was 50 people, at least 50 people. And so they met us over here, and the current church, their lease was going to be over on February, either February or March. I may have the month wrong, but it was one of their lease was going to come to an end. So anyway, they came and looked at it again. And so what ended up happening is we owed about 250, 270, something like that. We'd gotten a PPP loan, and we owed a little bit more on the building. And so they paid that completely off, and then they started making payments to buy the building. And so we don't have any debt. The only thing we had to change was we had to change our service from 9 o'clock in the morning to 8:30. We didn't do the other church wrong. Their lease was up, and me having some contacts, I don't know ever how it worked out, they actually remodeled a facility next door to where I have my office. I don't own those buildings anymore, but I have contact to the people that do, and they went over and made them a real nice fellowship hall, and they're happy. They really wanted to get out of renting. They wanted to be their own church. So I said all that to tell you that so after this has happened, our primary purpose, now we got a good solid group of people. You can see that we average anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000 a month in donations. And we want to see people here on a regular basis in person. So we're not trying to talk you out of not coming to church. But we've decided that what we're going to make sure we do is focus our ministry on keeping the radio program going and keeping the internet going. Okay? And so we're not, and this is what I think is important for everybody to hear, we're not a full-service church. Okay? We can't be. First of all, I have a vocation. Teresa has a vocation. And so preaching and teaching is not all I do. So we're not a full-service church. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody that's going to give you everything that's a full-service church gives you, I am absolutely not opposed to you participating in that church. Come here for Bible class and go get some participation in a full-service church and drop your babies off at the nursery. You with me? But I just think it's important that I say that because we're limited in what we are able to provide to people outside of what we're doing here, which we think is the most important thing to do, and that's to teach people the Word of God. Because I still think the primary thing that's missing in the body of Christ in general is real knowledge of the Bible. I think what's happened to our society, and in America specifically, because that's who I am, I'm an American, and I'm an American that knows that we don't have real good soccer players. No, we're getting better. But anyway, we just don't have in our country anymore a majority of Bible Christians. Don't shout me down. It's not a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. We are no longer a majority of people that have in its population people who are Bible Christians. Like I've said this many, many times before, if I took a clipboard to Walmart, because have you ever been to Walmart where there wasn't at least 1,000 people in the parking lot? 6 o'clock in the morning, and James, you're the only one who does that. If I took a clipboard to Walmart, and if I had my dogs with me, everybody would like me. I went there one time. One of my funniest sermons ever was the time I took my dogs to Walmart. And normally nobody ever has anything good. You know, they're not very friendly. Sierra Vista is not a real friendly town. It isn't, Lottie, is it? Not very friendly. They got walls in every neighborhood. But for whatever reason, I forget what it was. Jordan had to go in. Me and him were together. And for whatever reason, I had Zoe, and I had to take Zoe out of the car, and I just had Zoe out in the front of Walmart. And I'm telling you, people absolutely love me. They're like, oh, look at that cute little doggy. It's the sweetest little thing. How old is he? What's he do? What's his breed? I never know what breed he is. He's a mixture of everything known to man. You know why they like Zoe? And you know why they have trouble with me? Zoe don't tell them anything. See, that person don't walk off from saying, oh, Zoe, you're the sweetest thing I ever saw. This is one of my old jokes, so I'm going to say it again. They don't walk off after petting Zoe and say, you're the sweetest thing in the world. And Zoe looks at them and says, my gosh, you could stand to lose about 30 pounds. Zoe don't say anything, right? So they, anyway, I just think it's important every so often to let everybody know this is what we're doing. It's been successful. I apologize that I don't do more, but I'm going to continue to come up on Sunday morning and present the scriptures. And then one other thing I want to talk about. Everybody, so is everybody clear on that? That's what's been going on. The beautiful thing is that you can see that we're honest with our offerings, and you can see that virtually everything that comes in goes out for charity. So, I mean, that's a pretty good deal. There's one other thing I want to talk about before I get in the Bible lesson. I'm going to get some water over it. One of the organizations that we started supporting was Samaritan's Purse. They're led by Franklin Graham, and they do work all over the world when there's a crisis, a hurricane, a war, flooding, or anything like that. And in the process of doing that, we also started supporting Billy Graham's Evangelistic Association that Franklin Graham is still a part of. And they've started sending me literature, and that stuff that they send is just magnificent. And so the other thing that I'm going to tell you is I'm not going to fight and be tormented and tortured about trying to get people to understand that God wants you healed. Now, God does want you healed. Sickness is of the devil. God doesn't want you tormented. God doesn't want you depressed. And I want to tell you that in my sermons, but I'm going to tell you, that's not what I'm going to make the focus about. You know what I'm going to make the focus about? Jesus and how much he loves us. God and how much he loves us. You know, it works for Billy Graham, it'll work for me. Because I've been doing this now for 26 years, and I'm going to hurt your feelings when I tell you this, but hardly anybody comprehends or retains what it is I tell you. I don't know why that is, but that's just a fact. Hardly anybody comprehends or retains what it is I tell you. So if I tell you about Jesus and how much he loves you and you comprehend that and you can take that and use that in your life, I've done something worthy. I've done something worthwhile. And I'll tell you what's lacking, sorely lacking. Not only knowledge of the Bible and Bible-loving Christians, because really, this is the truth, and I'm telling you straight up, and people can get mad about it, but there is no Christianity without this. Without this, if you're... Anyway, I didn't finish my Walmart story because I got off on Zoe. So if I took a clipboard... Did you notice I didn't finish my Walmart story? If I took a clipboard to Walmart and asked people, were they Christians, I guarantee you, you would get a majority of people who would say yes. And then I would say, well, why are you a Christian? They'd say, well, you know, I live a pretty good life. I'm not out to hurt anybody. You know, I love my fellow man. I work hard. And so that would make them classified as a Christian. I'm glad they work hard. I'm glad that they are decent citizens. But that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is coming to the knowledge of the saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of salvation that's been provided to you through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them he gave the right. He gave them, those that received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And that's what the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association does. They don't get over into the controversial things. You know, they don't pound people over the head about controversial stuff. They stay focused on God's love and salvation. And I want to, and by the way, the other part of that is that these people that are listening to me on the radio and on the internet, that's what I want them to find out. I want them to find that out. And they are. I know for a fact a couple of people have been born again here locally just through listening to the Bible lessons. I know that for a fact. And they've told me with their own mouth that they've said the sinner's prayer with me on the radio program while they were out deer hunting. See, Jerry, you never know. Everybody cool? So we're going to talk this morning about the Gospel of John. We're going to get into chapter 13, and the sermon title is Love One Another. Say that with me, everybody. Did I make that clear, though, what it is that we're presenting here? If you're looking for a prayer chain, is this the church for you? No, call Frances, though. She'll pray at any time. I think Maria would pray anytime you wanted some prayer, right? Amen. But I'm just saying, what I'm saying is we don't have any of this stuff necessarily in place. So we're not trying to be what we can't be. We're trying to do what it is we know we have. And that's the ability to tell people the Word of God. So did y'all say love one another? Want to say it again? All right, let me give you some verses. Let me teach a Bible lesson on this, and then we'll dismiss you into the wonderful Arizona rain. All right, put the next verse up, Jordan Browning. A new commandment. This is Jesus at the Last Supper in John chapters 13 to 17 that we may never get out of. I may never get out of it. But that's okay, because we're not in a hurry, are we? No. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, I want to remind you of something. Go back, Jordan, and you're going to have to jump around a little bit because I want to make sure we learn something. Remember John 14:12 from the last time we met, the greater work? Put John 14:12 up. I'm going to say something to you about this verse. That'll help you. It'll help you help me. Remember, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, it's a Bible class, and Bible teachers are prone to ask questions. Now, I've learned not to ask that many questions, and I try my best never to ask a hard question. But if somebody can tell me, should I just remind you? The greater work that Jesus is talking about us doing was that when he was on the earth, people couldn't be born again. Do y'all remember that? Act like, just raise your hand and say, I remember. I remember. You remember that? When Jesus was on the earth, people could not be born again, because the only way to be born again is to believe in your heart, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, he hadn't been raised from the dead yet, so they couldn't believe that he'd been raised from the dead, so you couldn't really preach the gospel yet to people, and these were people that believed in him, but they couldn't be born again. And so when he said we'd do greater works, he meant that we would be able to preach the gospel so that we could be born again. Are you born again?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pete, are you born again?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, So I want to show you something about this verse in John 13:34, and this may be interesting to you. Did you know that when Jesus said this, that those people that he said it to at that time really couldn't do it? See, that's why I'm here, because I've read the back of the book. I've read the epistles. See, he told them to love one another as I have loved you. Does everybody understand what I mean by at this point in Scripture they couldn't really do that? You know why they really couldn't do it? Because they hadn't been born again, and they really didn't have the love of God in them. Now, it's supposed to be in the Bible, because Jesus is letting you know what the commandment's going to be when you get born again. Everybody tracking with me? Let's give you some more verses, and I'll develop it further. Next verse, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Notice it doesn't say they'll know you're my disciples if you're a Baptist, or if you're a Methodist, or if you're a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian or a Seventh-day Adventist. It says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And then he further, see, I'm getting John 13 and 15 in. Next week, I'm going to get John 14 and 16 in. And then we're going to do John 17 verse by verse, because it's the longest prayer Jesus prayed in the Bible, and he prayed it. How many of you think it's worth studying a prayer he prayed? As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Say that with me out loud. Come on. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now remember, he's teaching these people these truths because he knows they're going to be born again when he's raised from the dead and he appears to them and they receive him as Lord. Y'all tracking? Give me the next verse. Listen to this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Okay? Now, these are all fantastic things to be told, right? And oh, what a difference our churches would be if we operate them. But again, the only people who can truly operate these things are people who have received salvation and have received a new nature, the nature of God. And thank God, God did that for us through faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason he did that for us was because of how much he loved us. So I want to teach you a fundamental, foundational truth that's in 1 John. And these are things that you've just got to read and meditate on and think about. Jordan, it's 1 John. I think it starts in verse 10, but I want to start in verse 9. I want you to see this. I want you to see the direction that love went. In this, the love of God was manifested which direction? Which direction? See, there wasn't love for God going God's direction from man. All we like sheep, listen to me, I'm just telling you, I'm going to keep it as simple as I know how. All we like sheep had gone astray. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none righteous, Romans 3:10. There was not love directed toward God from us, but God directed his love toward us because he really and truly does love us. The creator of the universe. You know what I forgot to do, and I was going to do it, and I forgot to do it. I remember that 2 weeks ago, another thing I'm going to ask you about. And remember when I told you about I found out about our animal at PDS. It's a goose. It's a white goose that's come to PDS golf course. And right now, on the third tee box, it's the only animal there. There used to be a bunch of them. I guess they go somewhere in the wintertime. How's that work? They head to warmth, don't they? They're smarter than people. They head to warmth. They don't stay in South Dakota or Minnesota or Canada. Of course, they're all in Yuma. That's where they're at. They're all in Yuma. Right, Keith? They're all in Yuma. Anyway, I forgot to tell you, I took a picture of the bird. I've got it on my phone in my photos. I took a picture of the goose just so y'all knew I wasn't making that up. But the God that made that goose, and by the way, the God that made that goose is also the God that made us. And so don't believe for a minute any of that lying thing called evolution. Don't believe that lie from the devil. Man, the devil gets away with telling so many lies. We let him get away with telling so many lies. You're going to tell me that me and that goose are connected? No, we're not connected. That's a separate thing God created separately, distinctly and separately. He made animals distinctly and separately, and he made people distinctly and separately. Remember I used the analogy about Teresa's foot? I'm here to tell you that Teresa does not have duck feet. She has beautiful feet. But here's what I want to say to you. The God that made that duck and that made Teresa's feet love us. Watch this. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. Listen to this. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why did he do that? Why did he send his only begotten Son into the world? That we might live through him. That we might live through him. Keep going. Verse 10. Listen to this. In this is love. Now listen. In this is love. Not that we love God. Say that, everybody.
Not that we love God.
Notice again. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be, this is too hard a word for us. Let me explain that word. But he sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Boy, doesn't that just kind of wash over your soul and gives you hope, builds your faith up, lets you know that you're not in this thing alone. Amen? God loves us. It's the devil that hates us. It's the devil that hates us. It's God that loves us. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. Now watch this. And sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Remember, he told them these things in John's gospel, but when he told them these things in John's gospel, they hadn't been born again yet, so they couldn't do it. Well, when he wrote these things in 1 John, he wrote these things to people who had been born again. They are born again people. We are born again people. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And look at verse 11. Now you can say this, beloved, and what are we called? What does God call us? Deadbeat? What's some classic names that people call you that aren't cuss words?
Scoundrel?
Liberal? I had to throw that in there. See, Joanne? No good. Loser? Deadbeat? I already said that, didn't I? Is that what he calls us?
Slacker?
But what's he call us? What's he call you? What's he call you? Now you can take this verse and now you can understand it and now you can do it. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I'm going to end up over, let me give you a verse in Romans 5:5. And I'm going to tell you that this verse right here, when Jesus spoke the words in John 13:34, and John 15:9-13, it was not true among those men at that table with him. It is now true with those people that are in this room with me and all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God. Oh my goodness, say that everybody. The love of God has been, not will be, not could be, but has been. The love of God has been poured out. Poured out where? In our hearts, not in our head. Not in our head, not up here. See, that's why I made fun just a minute ago of liberals, because that came out of my head. It did, it came out of my head. And you know God loves liberals? Do you know that? That came out of my head, but in my heart, the love of God. Listen to this. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? How was it poured out? We're going to get to this in next week in John 14:16. Has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we could love one another the way Jesus loves us. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. And so, for me, the only possible way that I can make this work for me and get this to manifest on some itty-bitty level is to recognize, first of all, God's love for me. And when I recognize God's love for me, it causes me then to have the capacity to be able to have compassion towards others. Remember, I'm not going to put the verse up because if I do put the verse up, I'll spend the rest of the time talking about it. But remember, the golden text of the Bible is this, that God so loved the world. And let me say this to you, folks. The only people that can manifest these things are Bible-believing, born-again Christians. We're the only ones that can manifest it. And I don't think I read it. I don't know. Did one of the texts say that by this people will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another? Was that up there? Was that in there? Okay. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, look, I'm just going to give you some verses that I meditated on this week to get me through some things that helped me, and I'm trusting it'll help you. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 4, Jordan. Watch this. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Now, and notice these words. But when the kindness, oh man, don't we need kindness in our world today? But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior. Notice again, notice the direction toward man appeared. See, all we like sheep have gone astray. The natural man is in enmity with God. All you got to do is hang around us and listen to us talk. All you got to do is listen to natural people talk, and you know we're enemies of God. We're not talking kindness and compassion and love and hope and joy. We're talking bitterness and cursing and doubt. And are you tracking? But it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Here it is. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Now this is, again, these are words that you might have to think about, but really, through the washing of regeneration. That's just a fancy word for being born again. Regenerated. Recreated. You're a recreated, regenerated child of God. Listen to me. Listen, everybody receive this right now. Receive this right now. You are a regenerated, recreated child of God. And you have on the inside of you God's love. Say amen. Amen. Say, I receive that. Meditate on that. Think about that. Don't think about all the corruption that's in the world through lust, because there's plenty of that. But think about the fact that God, in his mercy, because of his mercy, and because, remember, go back to this, because of his kindness and love toward us. Because of his kindness and love toward us. His kindness and love toward us. If we can just focus our minds on these things, life will be sweet. Listen to me now. Regardless of circumstances. That's another thing that I'm not going to beat a dead horse about, trying to get people's circumstances better. I've tried to get everybody's circumstances better for 26 years. I can't do it. I can't take that responsibility. I can't take that burden. I have my own life. I have my own problems. I have my own situations. I have my own circumstances. I want to let you know that you can overcome your circumstances, or you can live in your circumstances if you know that God loves you. I've spent too much time trying to talk people into positive circumstances instead of just telling you that God loves you and let you and God work it out. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See? But according to his mercy, he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration, which is a fancy word, Keith, for being born again, renewed, regenerated, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us. Oh, how many of you like this word? Whom he poured out on us. Man, getting, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me just say this to you. If you don't have any other scripture verses marked in your Bible, mark Titus 3, 4, 5, and 6. Mark them. And make them you. Make them yours. Make them yours. Just say, you know, God, your kindness and love for me was demonstrated to me by you making me a born-again, recreated child of God. And you've given me your Holy Spirit, and you've put your love inside of me. And greater is the love inside of me than the hate that's in the world. Let me go over to my other go-to spot, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And another thing I want everybody to understand, I know that some of y'all know these verses, and have seen these verses, but you have to understand we're picking up different people every Sunday on the radio. We're picking up different people every Sunday on the internet, and this is brand new information for a lot of people. By the way, you can't hear this too much anyway. Verse Ephesians 2, I'm going to read, it's the first, I think it goes to seven verses, but this is, and we may not get any further than this. It says, so is the love of God on the inside of you?
Yes.
Can you love one another?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Did God do it to you because you deserved it? No, he did it to you because he loves us, because of his kindness toward us, because he wasn't going to be satisfied. He wasn't going to be satisfied until he got his great creation back, humanity. He loves the goose at PDS. I mean, you know he loves the goose at PDS. And for whatever reason, those men at the golf course, does it, you got the goose up, put the goose up and let them see it. Let's break it up a little. Put my goose up. I don't want y'all to think I'm making it up. He loves that goose. There he is. Third tee box on PDS. And you know what them old cussing vile. see, coming out of my head. Them guys go to the golf course with food to feed the duck. And they wouldn't give you $4 if you was on the street corner destitute. But they'll give a duck some duck food. Remember, it's just like the dog at Walmart. Oh, Zoe, you're so sweet. See, if they were on the, if this, let me tell you this. If this duck was on the third tee box and they watched 98% of those guys tee off and that duck could talk, that duck would say, oh, Lord, that's an ugly golf swing. And they wouldn't bring that duck any more duck food. Y'all with me? Look at that. There he is. And he's by the way, he's the only one down there right now. That's what's got everybody mystified. We think he's waiting for company. Notice, if y'all look down at y'all's feet, do y'all's feet look like that? No. Does y'all's nose look like that? No. Are we distinctly and wonderfully made? Are we the reason that God made the goose? Yes. See, we're the reason God made the goose. We're the reason God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. We're the reason. He made everything, and then after he made everything, he made us last, and he said, I'm putting you in charge of it. Isn't that beautiful? Why? Because he loves us, because his mercy endures forever towards us. All right, go back to Ephesians, or how many of you would be more happy if all we did the rest of the sermon is leave the duck up? By the way, can you eat duck? Can you eat goose? Shoot, you better watch out. They may cook him. And you, he made alive. Now listen to me. And this is something I learned, and I want to make sure y'all learn it. And I'm just giving you what I know. I can't give you nothing else. That you has to be me. And you, Mark Browning, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Keep going. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is the story of man. This is it right here. But remember now, God didn't leave us like this. This is the story of man. Verse 3, among whom also, and I think this is why we have to stay humble and compassionate towards people, among whom also we all, everybody say we all.
We all.
Not just y'all, but we all. Y'all, not y'all, Mary, but we all. Among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4. Oh, this is one of my go-to verses. How many of you have a go-to verse? Man, if you don't have a go-to verse, get some go-to verses. You're going to need it in life. You're going to need some go-to verses in life. Life's going to hit you, and you're going to need some go-to verses. This is one of my go-to verses. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Say that with me, everybody. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Now let's make it work. Instead of saying us, let's say me. Say it again, ready? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me. God loves me. God loves me in spite of me. God loves me not because of works of righteousness which I have done, but because of his mercy and his kindness and his compassion towards his prized creation, and I'm one of them. I'm not the only one, but I'm one of them. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, right here in quotation marks, by grace you have been saved. Say that. By grace I have been saved. Is the love of God on the inside of you? Are you regenerated? Are you born again? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Amen. Do you have to remind yourself of these things? Do you have to meditate on these things? Do you have to fix your thoughts on these things? Absolutely. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. Now, here it is in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you think I've made the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association happy today? Do you think that this message right here, I mean, if you've got any kind of perception at all, we haven't done a whole lot of criticizing, have we? We haven't tried to hurt people's feelings or we haven't tried to make ourselves out to be superior, or we haven't tried to beat you over the head and tell you that you need to do this and do that, and if you don't do this and you don't do that, everything will fall apart for you. We've tried to tell you that God loves you, that his mercy endures forever. Amen. That his truth endures to all generations, and that he saw our condition, and it was his decision. It wasn't our decision. God saw us, and it was his decision. And Jesus said it over and over in the Gospel of John, the one we're studying. Jesus said it over and over. God sent me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but shall have everlasting life. That in the ages to come, see, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Titus calls it love and kindness. Ephesians calls it kindness. Let's stand up on our feet and let's see if people are interested this morning in coming in contact with the Creator of the universe, the God that made the goose. Amen. The God that made the goose loves us. If you've been listening by radio or internet, we're grateful for you doing that. We're doing this. We're reaching out to you because we want everybody to come in contact with the Creator of the universe. You didn't evolve. You didn't come from a gob of goo. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the most important thing God made when he made you. And he demonstrated that by sending Jesus when we were ungodly, when we weren't worth saving. God demonstrated that love toward us, that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. And so all the Bible asks you to do, and by the way, you've tuned into a Bible-believing church. We're a Bible-believing church, let me say it like this. We're a Bible-believing ministry. We need to use the word ministry more here than we do church. We are a ministry. And you've tuned into a ministry that's telling you that God loves you and that he wants you to become his child through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's all the Bible asks you to do, is to receive Jesus. as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So say this with me. I know you're ready to say it. Say this with me. Say, dear God, I recognize that you are my creator. I recognize that you love me and that you sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for my sins. As an act of my will, I consciously receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess him as Lord. And I believe by faith that the Holy Spirit is pouring his love, the love of God, into my heart right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a Bible-believing Christian, and God is your Father. The Holy Spirit's in you, and life is just now going to get real interesting. Amen. Get your hands on a Bible if you can. You can listen to these lessons that we put out on our website, lifeinchristchurch.net. If you want to contact us, we'd love to hear from you, and we'll get you a Bible or we'll get you resources. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share this message. We thank you, Lord, for staying with us and staying patient and staying connected to us and continuing to bless us financially so we can do these things, not only for those who are courageous enough to come on Sunday morning, but also for those who are out there in the world and in society. And we're going to be faithful to continue to do that for your glory. It's in the holy and glorious name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.